You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate. The world economy catches up with Spotify. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The all-you-can-eat music and podcast app Spotify is doing another severe round of layoffs. 1,500 people will go, 17% of its staff. While U.S. economic growth has been running warm to hot, Spotify's chief executive is blaming slowing global economic growth and higher interest rates. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
Spotify is cutting 17% of its workforce, about 1,500 employees. That's nearly double the number of people it let go in total during the previous two rounds of cuts earlier this year. The company's CEO, Daniel Ek, in a letter to employees, said the cuts may seem dramatic considering the company has returned to profitability, but he said looking ahead over the next 2 years, it became evident more cuts were necessary to reduce expenses. Why, when Spotify has nearly doubled its audience over the last 3 years? It's because the music streaming provider has also been on a spending binge, helped by loans with low interest rates. It made a major push to expand its podcasting business. Now, those cheap borrowing days are over. Another reason is slowing economic growth. Keep in mind, Spotify is a global company. It relies heavily on subscribers who pay to listen, and 40% of those are in Europe, where the economy may now be in a shallow recession. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Eggnog, mistletoe, assertions of most wonderful time of the year, and buy now, pay later. Online shopping financed by plans that let people pay in multi-week installments hit $940 million this past Cyber Monday. That is a record, according to Adobe Analytics. Marketplace's Matt Levin has that.
Buy now, pay later, or BNPL for short, really started getting popular during pandemic lockdowns. But more recently, inflation and higher interest rates on credit cards have kept consumers using the services across pretty much anything you can buy online. Vivek Pandia is with Adobe.
So electronics, apparel, home furniture, but we're also seeing buy now, pay later being used for grocery orders. And that's kind of indicative of consumers having to manage the inflation with food costs.
BNPL users typically buy more stuff than other shoppers, which is why retailers are a fan. Traditional programs don't charge interest, which can be especially luring to low-income consumers. But Consumer Reports' Jennifer Chen says late fees can make those deals pretty expensive. And the BNPL model is evolving.
Increasingly, many buy now, pay later providers are now also offering longer-term interest-bearing loans.
Chen says consumers may not even know what type of BNPL plan they're in until they miss a payment. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
The U.S. Commerce Secretary is calling for more federal money to police U.S. exports of advanced technology. Gina Raimondo's line at a defense forum this weekend was, quote, "We cannot let China get these chips, period." She says her Bureau of Industry and Security has a $200 million budget, which Raimondo says is like two fighter jets. You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know.
Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday marked the 35th anniversary of World AIDS Day. As we continue our coverage, today it's the cost of a highly effective approach to preventing HIV. It's called PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis. Generic PrEP costs less than a dollar a day for those without insurance, whereas injectable PrEP can cost more than $20,000 a year. That is a gap worth exploring. My Marketplace colleague, Sabri Benishore, spoke with Anne Nealon, an infectious disease specialist and professor at Harvard.
Is price a barrier in any way to uptake of PrEP, or is maybe awareness the bigger problem?
So I think there are many layers of barriers to PrEP uptake, but a true root cause is price, right? So if you have a PrEP assistance program that has a fixed budget, you can imagine that, you know, $170 per patient per year is going to go a heck of a lot farther than north of $20,000 per patient per year if that's the price that you're paying to get people on PrEP. At the same time, patients want to have choices. And for a lot of these modalities, taxpayer-funded research went into a lot of the studies that led to their approval for the prevention indication. And it's not clear to me, at least, how that gets factored in, if at all, to the pricing.
If insurance covers it, then why is price a problem?
So value has to be understood in pricing relative to its alternatives, right? And so I guess, do we think that injectable PrEP is worth that? I can't even do the math in my head how many times of a markup it is for a generic PrEP. So yeah, I mean, if insurance covers it, sure, but there are a lot of underinsured individuals who need access to PrEP. So I guess for the insured patient, it is not a problem, but it sure as heck is a problem for the insurer, the insurance company. And then really, it ends up trickling down to the provider and the patient. A couple of weeks ago, I was trying to get Descovy approved for a patient with true pill dysphagia, meaning they can't swallow pills, they gag, they had tried injectable cabotegravir, they didn't tolerate it for a rare reason. And I spent 90 minutes on the phone, right? And why is that? It's because Descovy is so much more expensive. And that's a problem for the insurance companies.
How could we make PrEP more widely accessible? What are some things we could do?
Well, one thing would be lowering the price of medications. And then I think, you know, legislatively, you know, the Braidwood versus Becerra management threatened to overturn the Affordable Care Act's coverage of PrEP without cost sharing for patients, right? It's a USPSTF grade A recommendation. There aren't many of those. You know, we know that for individuals who are at the highest risk of HIV infection, among those include sexual minority males, men who have sex with men, not improving access to particularly to generic PrEP, really, it's throwing away both lives and money in terms of the HIV infections that we could prevent for less than 50 cents a day.
Dr. Anne Nealon is an infectious disease specialist and professor at Harvard. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thanks, Sabri. And the weekend after Thanksgiving is not usually a big one for movies, but Beyoncé's film Renaissance defied that tradition, pulling in $21 million over the weekend, number one movie. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.